Well, if you have your Bibles this morning or your iPhones or Androids or whatever you read your scripture on, you can open up to Ephesians 5. That'll be kind of our main scripture. I'll bounce around a little bit today, but that'll be our main scripture that we'll read. If you've been with us the last several weeks, you know we've been walking through a series titled What We Value. And it's a series that's taking us through the core values of our church here at Dallas Foursquare. And I've shared with you, as we started the process of planning this church over 3 years ago now, we started this process. We're 2 years as a church, but the process began over 3 years ago. And one of the first things that we had to do as we began this process was to think about our core values and to put together the core values of what our church would be. And it was a process, as I shared, that was a lot harder than I expected it to be. Because we realized that this isn't a process that you can take lightly. It's not like, oh yeah, what are your core values? I'll just throw some things out. We realized that these values would be the values that would shape who we are as a church. And it would determine how we operate as a church. And so after many hours of prayer and seeking the Lord, we ended up with these six values that you see up here on the screen. Six values that we believe God gave for this church, for Dallas Foursquare Church. And we feel that it's important that you know and that you understand what these values are. And that these values are your values as well, that as you look at them, are these things that you value? You know, my wife was very bold last week when she said, you know, if these aren't your values, then you might need to look for a different church. And not because we don't want people to be at our church, but this is who we are. And if it's not what you value, then there are other churches with other great values. And so it's so important, because everything we do, every decision we make, will be based off of these core values. And so far, as we've walked through this series, we've talked about four of these values. We talked about how we value God's Word, how important God's Word is, how we believe in the truth of God's Word. We talked about how we value worship and how our lives should be worship to the Lord in all that we do. We talked about how we value obedience, and that's a hard one, right? To not just listen to the Lord, to not just read His Word and know what it says, but to obey it, to walk it out, to live it out. And then last week, we talked about how we value people, and I kind of mentioned it there, but if you missed last week, I encourage you to go online and to listen to last week's message about valuing people, because my wife spoke last week, and I just got to say, she hit it out of the park. She did an amazing job, and if any of you know my wife, the last place she wants to be is up here. And it was so funny that she was up here the week after we talked about obedience. As a matter of fact, even when I shared this last week, but even when she said, Darren, the Lord's been giving me some things on valuing people, I don't know, maybe I'm supposed to speak. Then she tried to back out of it. No, you just take these things. No, God gave these things to you. You're supposed to speak. She did an amazing job. And so I encourage you, go and check it out on the website. Because she did an amazing job about our desire of how we want to value people. Well, this week, we're going to talk about the fact that here at Dallas Foursquare Church, we value authenticity. Authenticity. And I have to be honest, this is a tough one. It's tough to be authentic Christians, to be people who live a life of authenticity. On our values page on the website, you'll find the scripture that we have there for this value is Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 8 through 13. And so that's the scripture we're going to start with this morning. That's the main scripture that we're going to read when it comes to authenticity. And so if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along with me, you can follow along in Ephesians 5, verse 8 through 13. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. That scripture starts off by saying, you were once darkness, but now you are light. If you happen to be here the last week of December as we were heading into the new year, you may remember my message that was titled, Goodbye Old, Hello New. In that message, I talked about God's desire for us to shed the old life, right? And to put on the new, to step out of a life of darkness that we once lived in before we knew Christ, right? And to begin to live in the light as we learn to live the authentic Christ, the authentic life that Christ has called us to live. But here's the thing. Oftentimes, instead of doing what Paul tells us to do, to shed the old and put on the new, oftentimes we try to put on the new and just hide the old, right? Cover up the old. Instead of living the authentic life that God has called us to live, this new life in Him, we end up living a double life, right? It's much like that of a superhero. My son is so much into superheroes, so we're always talking about superheroes in our family, you know, who's your favorite superhero and this or that, or what superhero and secret identities of superheroes. It's much like a superhero when we live that double life. We have our life over here as a Christian, as a superhero, right? But then over here we have our secret identity, the thing that people don't know about, this life that we live behind closed doors. And the sad thing is we don't realize the damage that that secret identity causes in our lives. You see, the reason authenticity is one of the core values of our church is because it's the lack of authenticity that has been destroying the church. Most of you know that I'm a huge Toby Mac fan, okay? My son's name's Toby, right? And I didn't just name him that. Part of it's the meaning of it, too. But I'm a huge Toby Mac fan. And before that, I was a huge DC Talk fan, okay? Which is the band that Toby was in before he became Toby Mac, just himself. Well, DC Talk had a song years ago called What If I Stumble? Okay, maybe you're familiar with that song. You know, what if I stumble? What if I fall? What if I lose my step and make fools of us all, right? It's a great song. But if you ever had the album, at the beginning of the song, before the song started, there was a pastor that spoke. A man by the name of Brennan Manning. Some of you may be familiar with his stuff. This is what he said before the song started. He said this. He said, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today. Atheism, people who don't believe in God, there is no God, right? The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, then walk out the door and deny him with their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. Some powerful words. Especially if you say you're a Christian, right? Hits you between the heart. You see, one of the most common answers when you talk to people why they don't go to church, what's one of the most common answers you hear of why people don't come to church? Because the church is what? Full of hypocrites. The church is full of hypocrites. And sadly, over the years, there's been some truth to that. Now, not every church and not every person is a hypocrite. But there's a lot out there. We see it a lot. Which is why one of our core values is authenticity. You see, my desire as a pastor, my desire as the pastor of this church, is that when people walk in those doors, they see people that are real. They see a real pastor, right? People who are living authentic lives. People who are not just talking the talk. It's real easy to say, oh yeah, you got to live this way, you got to live that way. Not people that are just talking the talk, but people that are walking the walk. Now, does this mean that we have to be perfect? I want all these people in here that are talking the talk and they're perfect. They never sin, they never make mistakes. No. No one's perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect, as much as I try to convince my wife that I am. It doesn't mean we have to be perfect. It just means we're honest. It means we don't pretend that we have it all together when we don't have it all together. It means we remove the masks that we're hiding behind. Because a lot of us walk in these doors with masks, pretending we're someone we're not. See, it means we're people that love Jesus, but we're honest about our failures. We're honest about our struggles and the challenges and difficulties that we face. It's being people that don't always say we're fine. Right? Because what's the most common? How are you today? Fine. When we know deep down inside, they're not. Deep down inside, they're struggled. Smile on our face. I'm fine. Right? I want this to be a place where we don't use the F word unless we mean it. We really are fine. Okay, I'm sorry. That's the F word I was referring to. I don't know where you guys went with that. But we use that. We use the fine word all the time when we're not. I want this to be a place where we can take off the masks and really come in here as we are. We can be who we are. Now the problem is, this can be a scary thing, right? Removing the masks. Why? Why is it so scary? Well, I want to share with you a few fears that I think keep us from taking off the mask. Thanks to Rick Warren, who I got a thing in the mail 2 weeks ago that talked about authenticity, and I thought, oh, this is good, this is perfect. So some of these thoughts come from that little article I read, but I want to share some fears that keep us from taking off the mask. And I think one of the first fears that keeps us from taking off the mask is that fear of being exposed. The fear of being exposed. Oftentimes we're afraid that people will realize we're not as perfect as we want people to believe, that we don't have it all together. And it's this fear of exposure that keeps us at times from being authentic. It causes us to put on this mask and say, we're fine, right? Now, here's the thing. We don't mind when our strengths are exposed, right? We don't mind when our gifts or the good qualities of us are exposed. But the last thing we want is for people to see our weaknesses, or for people to see our insecurities. Surely we can't let them see our failures. What will people think about us? I'm not perfect. I have struggles. What will people think? Here's the thing. The reality is we all have weaknesses and failures. As much as we want to think we have it all together, the reality is none of us have it all together. Nobody has it all together. Jesus is the only one that ever had it all together. And I don't think anyone in here is Jesus, okay? That was my nickname when I was in the Marine Corps when I first started out, but I wasn't him, all right? And I kept telling people, you don't know. I am far from that, all right? Jesus is the only one that had it all together. The reality is all of us have flaws. All of us mess up. All of us have weaknesses. And that's why it's so ironic. Think about it. It's so ironic that we're afraid of being exposed. Because we all, you know, if we all just took off our masks, we'd realize that we all have weaknesses. We all have failures. We all have insecurities. So why do we pretend we don't? Why do we fake it? Why do we wear the masks? See, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:11, it says this, no one really knows what anyone else is thinking or what he is really like except that person himself. And I think this is why it's so easy for us to put on the mask, because nobody really knows what's going on in here. Nobody really knows what's going on in here except for us, except for God, right? In the entire universe, there's only one person who knows the truth about us, and that's God. And here's the thing, I think He knows us better than we know us. He knows some of those things that we've tried to block out. Say, I've got it together. We think, and God knows the reality, right? He knows us better than any of us. And here's the thing. God isn't surprised by any of our weaknesses. God isn't surprised by our failures and by our mess-ups. And here's the thing. He knows if you really want to live a life of authenticity, we're going to have to remove the mask. We're going to have to let people see us for who we are. We're going to have to let people see our weaknesses. We've got to be open and honest. How do we overcome this fear of being exposed? And I believe it's this. It's by choosing to walk in the light. Choosing to walk in the light. Listen to verse 13. That I read earlier of Ephesians 5, it says this, everything exposed by the light becomes visible. But here's the encouraging part. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. It's realizing that God isn't exposing these things because He wants to embarrass us or because He wants to bring shame upon us. He wants to expose these things so that we can deal with them, that we can get them out in the open, we can deal with them and begin to truly live the authentic life He's called us to live. As we live authentically and allow God's light to expose those things in our life, it actually allows us to walk in freedom. Because when we have that secret identity, what happens? There's this guilt, there's this shame, there's these things in our life that keep us from walking in the freedom of God's grace and mercy. And here's the cool thing. Oftentimes, our authenticity can help others begin to walk in the light. Now, I've shared with some of you before my struggles back in high school. When I was in high school, I perfected this secret identity. I perfected this double life. My life was anything but authentic when I was in high school. My parents thought I was the perfect Christian guy, right? I did everything right. I charmed everybody. Even my youth pastor and people at my church thought I was this perfect little Christian, you know? I had all the girls' moms in the church wanted their daughters to marry me because, look, he's a perfect Christian boy. But little did they know, I was living a completely different life in secret. And I'll just be honest with you. In high school, I struggled big time with pornography. And I knew it was wrong. And as much as I wanted to tell someone, as much as I wanted to get it off my chest and to confess and to talk to someone about it, I couldn't. I was afraid of how exposing these dark areas in my life might affect me. I was afraid that it might ruin people's image of me. The image that wasn't really me in the first place. Well, shortly after I graduated from high school, before I went in the military, I started going to this college-age group from my church. And in that group, I met a guy that I became real close with. We started hanging out all the time. He actually was a greenskeeper on a golf course. And so he got to live in the caddy shack, man. It was so cool. He lived in this little shack on the golf course. And so we'd hang out together. I'd go up there after work, and we'd play golf, and then we'd just hang out in his little shack apartment thing up there. And we were hanging out together all the time. And one evening we're there hanging out, and he looked at me and said, Darren, and he started to kind of like tear up. He said, will you pray for me? And I said, okay, what do you want me to pray? And it was then that he began to share with me how he had been struggling with pornography and so many other things, with relationships and whatnot. And it's interesting, and I hate to say this, but as he was pouring out his heart almost in tears and just broken, I almost felt this smile coming across my face. And it wasn't because I was happy that he'd been struggling with these things, but it was because I felt like this is my opportunity to come clean. This is my opportunity to confess myself to someone as he's confessing it to me. And I remember as he finished, I began to tell him how, me too, man. And it's like we're sitting there, these two college guys crying together about our failures and our fears and our struggles. And we began to confess to one another and we prayed. And I remember I went and we talked to our college pastor. And he began to encourage us. And it was a turning point in my life where I began to realize the importance of authenticity. And here's the thing, his authenticity, my friend's authenticity and willingness to confess these things to me opened up the door for me to be authentic and to allow these weaknesses in my life to be exposed. And it was like this weight was finally lifted off my shoulders. I didn't have to be this person that everyone wanted me to be. And it began to open the door for me to put off the old and begin to put on the new and to begin to live in the light. You see, bottom line is, if we allow the fear of being exposed to keep us from removing our masks, then we'll never experience the authentic life that God has called us to live. We can't let the fear of being exposed keep us from being authentic. The second fear that I think keeps us from taking off the masks is the fear of rejection. We don't want to let people see the real us because we're afraid they might not like us. We're afraid they might reject us if they find out what we're really like, if they find out our weaknesses, if they find out our failures. See, how often do we allow the opinion of others to affect what we do or how we live? Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of human opinion disables." Think about that for a moment. The fear of human opinion disables. How often do we allow the opinion of others to affect what we do and how we live? See, I think a lot of times we spend a good portion of our lives just trying to earn acceptance from others, trying to get others to like us. You know, how we dress, right? How we talk, the cars we buy, the house we buy, whatever it is, all these things are affected by people's opinions. The fear of human opinion can paralyze us and cause us to do dumb things, cause us to put on the masks. Why do we fear the opinion of other people? Oftentimes, people we don't even know. I think if we're truly honest with ourselves, it's because we all have this deep desire to be loved, right? In fact, I don't even think it's a desire to be loved. I think we actually need to be loved. I think we were created by God to be loved by Him, and ultimately when He created us, to be loved by others. It's one of the basic needs of our lives, to be loved. And because of this, a lot of times, we spend a good portion of our lives just to make sure that we're not unloved. Right? And this drives us to great extremes where we put on these masks and we do whatever we need to do to be loved and to be accepted by others. But we have to come and realize and understand that putting on a mask or living a false life isn't the answer to this need for love. You see, the answer to our fear of rejection is to trust in God's love. The Bible tells us in Daniel 10:19, it says, "Don't be afraid, for you are deeply loved by God." Deeply loved by God. Be at peace, take heart, and be strong. See, the reality is, we're going to experience rejection in our lives. It's going to happen. We live in a fallen world. We're going to experience rejection. Whether we put the masks on or whether we don't, we're going to experience rejection. But you see, God's love isn't based on conditions, right? A lot of times our human love is based on conditions. God's love is unconditional. He loves us regardless. We don't have to put a mask on to be loved by God. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this." What? "While we were still sinners, He died for us." Before we even realized we needed to try to put on a mask to make other people think we were good. While we were sinners, He died for us. God knows that the mask will only keep us from becoming who He created us to be. He wants us to remove the masks and begin to walk in a life of authenticity, because it's then and only then that we'll be able to truly be the light that He's called us to be. A lot of times we put an artificial light out there, but it's not the true light. And as a church that values authenticity, I want to end by saying this. Because the reality is when we take off the masks, things are going to be exposed. There is a chance that people will see things that they don't like. But my heart and my desire is that this is a safe place. That when you walk in these doors, you are able to come as you are without judgment, without rejection. And I will guarantee you that from me. And if you can't guarantee that here in this church, then maybe you need to find a different church. Because this is a place where God wants to love and value and accept people. And authenticity is a way that we are going to be able to grow and become who God wants us to be. And if we can't come in here and be real, if you can't come to church and be real, where can you be real? That's why so many people are leaving the church or have left the church. My desire is that we are a place where people can come as they are. Now, does that mean we don't want to see you change? No, but it's not us that changes. It's God that changes as you come and as you begin to seek out the Lord authentically, being real about your failures and your struggles. God exposes those things so that you can deal with them and that you can become who He's called you to be. And He does it, not us. Let's learn to be people who live a life of authenticity. So often, we feel we have to impress everybody else. Let's just seek first and foremost now to come and impress God. And all we have to do to impress God is say, "Here I am." Because He loves us regardless. Let's learn to be people who walk in authenticity, because in that, we're able to come and put our arms around one another and help each other. That's what Christianity is all about. It's being real with one another, coming alongside our brothers and sisters when they're struggling. When I ask you how you're doing, I don't want to hear "fine" when you're not. Because I want to be able to put my arm around and say, "Can I pray with you?" Because God is bigger than the things that we go through. But so often I think everything's good, when in reality it's not. We have to be real. We have to be honest. And it may mean that sometimes we get hurt. It may mean that sometimes whatever, but it's trusting in God over all of that. And if you've been someone that's allowed the rejection of other people, if you've allowed the fear of what other people may think to cause you to live this double life, I encourage you, now's the time to begin to take off the mask. And for some of us, it's many masks. But let's begin to take those off and be the authentic people that God's called us to be. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this word. And Lord, it's a hard word because we don't want people to see our failures. We don't want people to see our weaknesses. But Lord, your scripture says where we are weak, you are strong. And it's you that makes us strong, Lord, not us. We try to cover up those weaknesses and be strong on our own, but we try to find true strength when we're honest and real about our weaknesses and our failures. And Lord, as we're honest to others, it opens up the door for others to be honest. Help us, Lord, to learn what does it mean to be a church that values authenticity? What does it mean to be a church that's real? A church that allows people to truly come as they are. That doesn't make people change before they walk in those doors, because, Lord, we know that that's impossible. Because the change comes through you and through the power of your Spirit, Lord. And so we want to be a church that learns to live authentically. We want to be a church that loves people as they live authentically, that comes alongside and encourages people through the difficult times, that doesn't bring shame, that doesn't bring rejection, but brings the love of Jesus. Teach us, show us how to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.